Now you'll find my text tonight in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Dear congregation, let me ask right at the beginning of this sermon tonight, have you a great concern in your life to be found following the Lord? As you view this new week which is before you in the will of the Lord, is it your great concern to be walking with the Lord? And let me ask another question. Do you desire a closer walk with Jesus? Have you this desire in your soul to walk closer, walk in a way which is closer to him? Well, we read here, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Let our eye be focused on this tonight. We are to be found walking in him, or walking with him. Do these words in verse 6 stir your soul and excite you to walk a closer walk with Jesus? Do these words affect you? I've received the Lord and I want to know him more. I want to walk closer to him whom my soul loveth. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Now the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the brethren at Colossae around AD 61 or AD 62. And he wrote it whilst he was in prison. The epistle opens, as we noted this morning, with those words in verse 1 of chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God and Timotheus our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, after his inscription and opening words of salutation, in chapter 1, he sets forth the glory of Christ, who is the head of the church. And having done that, we then see his burden he had for the brethren at Colossae. In verse 1 of chapter 2, we read, "For I would that ye know what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." He had this great conflict within his heart. His mind was taken up with them. He was concerned for them. He was moved. You see, there were false teachers around who were seeking to deceive and draw many away. There was vain philosophy which could so easy injure them, and along with the traditions of men, do much harm. Oh, he was burdened for them. Note verse 1 again of chapter 2. "For I would that ye know what great conflict." He's so burdened. You see, he's got such an enlarged heart for them. He's got such a pastor's heart. He's concerned for them. He doesn't want to see them come to any harm. "For I would that ye know what great conflict I have for you." Well, he warns against certain false teachers and certain things that would do them harm. Having warned them, he further exhorts them to be constant in the faith and walk closely to the Lord. And we come to our text now. "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith." So walk ye in him. Avoid error and so walk with the Lord. Continue on with him. For a few moments tonight, I'd like us to note these words in verse 6 and consider two things. First of all, receiving Christ Jesus. And then secondly, if time permits, walking in him. Receiving Christ Jesus and walking in him. "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." Now we notice here, he particularly is addressing the brethren at Colossae. Note these words. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. He speaks of them as those that had already received the Lord. And we'll come back to this in a moment before we look at the second point tonight. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. This was their testimony. But let's now consider these words here. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. Receiving Christ Jesus. Firstly, Christ is the one to be received. That's made plain. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus. As in the days of the apostles, so today many are looking in the wrong direction for life and satisfaction. They look in the wrong direction. They want to be satisfied, yet they will not find salvation nor true satisfaction in any other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus alone is the bread of life, in whom a man has life and is nourished. Our Lord said himself in John 6, verse 35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. You see, there's life in him. There's nourishment. We are fed. We are supported. And there is true satisfaction. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. That is in a spiritual way. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. In him is life. In him is true satisfaction. Yet so many in our land are looking in the wrong direction. Men by nature are seeking after something to satisfy their hungry and thirsty soul. Men by nature have a hungry and thirsty soul. That's why some of them go to the nightclub. That's why some of them line up on a Wednesday evening to get their lottery ticket, because they're hungering, they're searching, they want happiness. Men by nature seek after something to satisfy their hungry and thirsty soul, yet they seek not Christ. Isaiah made this plain in Isaiah 55 verse 2, in very interesting words. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? You see plainly, one is seeking something. One is seeking to get. We note there that labour, your labour. Men are after something. They want to be satisfied. Yet there we read, and labour for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Now note the question, wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? Wherefore? Why? The question is, why do men do it? And if you're without Christ, why are you seeking life and satisfaction in other things? The things of this world will not truly satisfy. Yes, they may bring some pleasure for a while, but it's passing. They will not afford to you eternal happiness. Your own works will not do. Other faiths will not do. If you're without Jesus, look to him. Look and live. We need him, for we've sinned against God. We've broken his law. And as we think of sin, there is the consequences of sin. There is bondage. Well, what bondage men are in. In Isaiah 42, we read of the prison and the prison house. It's a picture of the bondage one is in. They're in bondage. The bondage of sin under the tyranny of Satan. Think there is misery. Oh, what misery there is in this world because of sin. Men are so unhappy. Yes, they may know some fleeting joy. They know some sinful joys at times. But men are so unhappy. And then as we think of the consequences of sin, there is the wrath of God. And there is punishment. Eternal death in a place called hell is facing the unbeliever who dies in their sins. Oh, one needs the Lord. Oh, look to him. He is the only one. He said himself, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if you're without Christ, you listen to those words of Jesus. What does he say to your soul? I am the way. And he tells the truth. So if you're not believing, why are you not believing in him who speaks the truth? He's the way. In him is life. How blessed is the man, woman, boy or girl who has received Jesus Christ. Christ is to be received. Note these words here in verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, the anointed one, the Saviour, his name is Jesus, the Lord, the Master. Have you received him? He is the one to be received. Well, let's consider secondly, particularly now, this receiving. We read here in our text, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. We thought of the one to be received, but now let's consider this receiving. Now, in effectual calling, one is shown the suitableness of Christ. And he is received. He speaks here, the apostle, of receiving Jesus Christ. Literally, the word means to take. That cannot be meant to be something in a physical way. No, it must be something in a spiritual way. And the Bible makes it abundantly plain what it means to receive Jesus Christ. Turn with me to John chapter 1 and verse 12. John chapter 1 and verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power or the right to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. It's so simple there, isn't it? To receive is to believe in Jesus. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. To believe, to receive then is a description of faith. Now in the Bible there are a number of descriptions of faith, too many for us to consider tonight, but just consider one or two. Resting is a description of faith. Psalm 37 verse 7, rest in the Lord. And that's a lovely description of faith, isn't it? Dear brethren, we're resting in the Lord. We put our weight on him, we're trusting him. And then another similar one is leaning on the beloved. Song of Solomon 8 verse 5, leaning on Christ. We can consider eating and drinking in John 6 rather. We've noted that already tonight. We receive, there is this eating and drinking. Well, consider this description of faith, receiving. To receive is to believe in Jesus. We take hold. We believe. Let me put this to you tonight. We grasp Christ in the arms of faith. Like Simeon grasped Christ in his arms. We grasp Christ in the arms of faith. Receiving is believing. Have you grasped Christ in the arms of faith? In Psalm 2 verse 12 we read there of kissing the Son, embracing Christ, having love to him. And we see also there in that verse, faith. Have you embraced Christ? Have you love in your heart for him? Have you embraced him, grasped him in the arms of faith? Have you taken hold? Received Christ Jesus? Well, let's open this up a little further. The Lord Jesus Christ is the gift. And through faith we receive. Let's focus that he is the gift to be received. In John 3 verse 16, those well-known words, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave. As we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is God's salvation, Luke 2 verse 30. He is God's gift of his choosing. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. In 2 Corinthians 9 verse 15 we read these words, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And you see there plainly that Jesus is God's gift. And he is presented to poor needy sinners that they might receive him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The unspeakable gift, we'll come back to this in a moment. Now think of a proper gift. Now I know sometimes you are asked to go and buy something for yourself so it can be given to you, or maybe given some money. But I want us, for purposes of this illustration, to think of a proper gift. It's given to you. Firstly, you did not purchase it yourself. You did not purchase it yourself. We're thinking of a proper gift that is given to you. And as we think of that tonight, one does not purchase Christ and the benefits of redemption. One comes with nothing in their hand, and yet through the grace of God, they go with Christ. As you think of a proper gift, you did not purchase it yourself. And as you think of Christ, the gift, one does not purchase him, nor the benefits of redemption. Isaiah 55 verse 1, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. We've got nothing to pay with, because there isn't anything we can pay with of ourselves. We come empty-handed. You may be here tonight thinking, well, I've got to do this before I'm a Christian. Put that to one side. Your works will not do. Christ is given to those who have nothing to merit him. Ho, everyone that first have come ye to the waters, and he that have no money, come ye buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. James Fisher writes, Christ, the glorious object of faith, is revealed in Scripture as under the notion of a gift, presented to such are as quite poor and have nothing of their own. They're poor. And by nature there is such a poverty. We're so poor. You're poor tonight, or that you would believe that you might receive the unspeakable gift. Now a sinner in effectual calling comes empty-handed, yet they go on their journey with Christ. And that's our testimony, dear brethren, isn't it? We came empty-handed, but then we went on our journey, having Christ as a glorious gift in our lives. A destitute sinner comes dressed in rags, yet he's clothed with a robe of righteousness given to him by Christ and is blessed. We come with nothing, yet we go away so blessed in effectual calling. Oh, if you're without Christ, that you would go away tonight blessed, having received the unspeakable gift. So firstly, as we think of a proper gift, you do not purchase it yourself. Secondly, as we think of a gift, it speaks of love on the part of the giver. It speaks of love on the part of the giver. In 1 John 4 verse 9 we read, In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. The love of God there is manifested in the giving of his Son. And as you think of Christ, the unspeakable gift, oh, what love in the Father's heart that he was given. You think when you're given a gift, you often think of the love of the one who has given you the gift. Oh, think of the Father's love. He gave his only begotten Son. What love! What do we read in John 3, verse 16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We can think of the love of the Son. We read it earlier today. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Think of the love of the giver. Oh, what love, dear brethren, that God gave his only begotten Son. God so loved the world. If you're without Christ, think of the love of God in giving his Son. Have you received? Have you believed? So secondly, as we think of a gift, it speaks of love on the part of the giver. Thirdly, as we think of a gift, it speaks of kindness. And we often think that, don't we, when somebody gives you something? You think of their kindness. What kindness to give me something? A child may bring a little gift for their father or their mother, and they just present it very humbly, and the parents, what kindness towards me. You know, sometimes in the letter we write these words, thank you for your kind and generous gift. Wrote such words recently. Oh, think of the kindness of God in that he gave. In Titus 3, verse 4, we read, but after that, the kindness and love of God our Saviour toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. After that, the kindness and love of God. The kindness, think of his kindness, that he gave his only begotten Son. And dear brethren, you've received the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, think of the kindness of the Father, that he sent his Son, your beloved friend, to die on the cross. As you think of Calvary, yes, we think of the wrath of God. But think of the kindness of your God towards you in giving his Son. After that, the kindness and love of God. And dear brethren, is not God so kind to us that he planned redemption and that he gave his only begotten Son? Next time you're given a gift and you think of the kindness of the giver, think of the kindness of God in that he gave. You remember those words of the angels in Luke 2, verse 14? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And as you think of those words, goodwill, from the Greek it speaks of the desire, the goodwill, the kindness of God. And the angels over Bethlehem, in announcing the birth of Christ, spoke of the kindness of God. And those shepherds heard of the kindness of God, and you hear of the kindness of God tonight as your heart's been touched. Like those shepherds long ago, have you met the Lord, and are you going forth and making him known? Many think of those words there in Luke 2, just a little story. Oh, there's so many lessons there for us, dear brethren. The shepherds heard of the kindness of God. Their hearts were touched. They met Christ and they went serving the Lord. In view of the kindness of God in giving his only Son, will you go forth this week and make Christ known? The unspeakable gift. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill, or kindness be toward men. The kindness of God towards men. Now, considering Christ, turn back again to those words in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And dear brethren, we've received Christ. And we were taught to think of him as precious. And we are soon led to consider him as the unspeakable gift. The unspeakable gift. Now, what does this mean? Yes, we talk of the Lord. But he's the unspeakable gift. Think of him, his person, his excellencies, his character. Think of his righteousness. How wonderful he is. You think of those words in Isaiah 9 verse 6. His name shall be called Wonderful. He's so wonderful. What words can we offer? You know, there's many words in our English language, but there's not enough words we know to speak of Christ in adoring him. The unspeakable gift. Do you ever get lost for words? Do you ever get to a point when you just do not know what to say? You know, I used to be told often that certain ones in the Lewis family can talk a lot, and they used to speak of me as well. However, a few months ago, I was doing an email and I wrote this in the email. I do not know what to say. A gift had been given to me and words just failed me. Didn't know what to say. What could I really say? You know, a simple little gift can leave one speechless. Some kind thought or deed. And words fail us. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Dear brethren, when we really think about Christ, how wonderful he is, how he is altogether lovely, when we think of his righteousness covering us, what words can we offer? What can we render unto the Lord for all his benefits? What can we render? We can say a few words of thanksgiving, but he's the unspeakable gift. What can we really say? Consider his love and his kindness. Consider his righteousness. Consider what a friend he is to you. What words can we say? He is so lovely. He so cares for my soul. He is the unspeakable gift. Are you left in wonder tonight when you think of the Lord Jesus Christ? The unspeakable gift. What can we say? And what will we say when we see him in heaven? When our hearts are so melted by his love, when we see his lovely face, what words will we be able to say? He is the unspeakable gift. And it speaks, does it not, that he is so precious? He's so valuable unto you who believe he's precious. He's so precious. And I cannot say enough about him. He's the unspeakable gift. For Christ, the unspeakable gift, is presented to poor, lost sinners. And if you're without Christ, let me tell you, the one whom I have received, my O lovely Saviour, is presented to you. Now note again these words in verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. As ye have therefore received. Now, the apostle is addressing those who had already received him. And I know many of you here tonight have already received Christ Jesus. But what about you? You think of these words personally tonight. As ye have therefore received. Have I received him? Can I look back this Lord's Day evening? The Lord is my Saviour. I received him. Is it something that has already taken place in your life? Have you already Christ in your heart and life? Are you already in union? Have you received Jesus Christ? Think of a wedding day and the marriage union. The bride is asked this, such words as this. Wilt thou have this man to be thy wedded husband? And so on. And how is the bride to respond? I will. Some of you here may yet say those words. I will. I remember once hearing of a man. He came to a certain lady with some hymn numbers. And the lady thought it was for his funeral. No, it's for my wedding. And he was in his late 80s when he got married again. And he would say those words, I will. He took that lady. Well, later in the wedding ceremony, such words are said as this, are said like this. I take thee to be my wedded husband. to have and to hold from this day forward, for better and for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love, cherish, and to obey, till death us do part. I take thee. And the husband is received. And some of us can look back to the wedding day. I take thee. Have you received Christ Jesus? Are you looking back tonight? If you're not, oh, receive him now, ere it be too late. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus. What a testimony. If you're without Christ, it's my earnest prayer, did yet be your testimony. Well, as we close tonight, and we will be brief. Secondly, walking in him. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Now go back to the marriage. After the marriage, the man and the woman live together. And there is union, and further there is communion. And being joined together, they walk together in this new pathway. Well, here we read, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. The believer is in union with Christ. We belong to him, and he belongs to us. We've received Christ Jesus. And so we can say with the apostle, Christ liveth in me. There's been a receiving. There's been a union. Therefore, there is now a walk. That's plain, isn't it? That's obvious here. Those who receive Christ now are to walk with him. And we are to be found walking each and every day. And we need to make daily advances. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Walk in him, walk with him. Dear child of God, you've received the unspeakable gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. You have love in your heart for him. Walk with him. Go with him. Firstly, plainly, is one is to be found looking unto Jesus and following him. We're to be looking to the one we walk with, and we're to be looking where we are going. Hebrews 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus. He's the author and finisher. It began with him and it would end with him. We think of the journey. Look unto Jesus. Exercise faith as you walk with him. Look to him each day. Secondly, seek to imitate him. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Ephesians 5, verse 1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us. Followers of God, imitate God, is the particular stress of the Greek word there, and walk in love. Seek to be more like Christ. You're in union with him. Oh, to walk closely with him, to be more like him. Think of love, think of meekness. Matthew 11, verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. We've been brought to Christ. He said, come unto me. What a blessing we went through the grace of God. And now we're to be listening. Now we're to be learning. Learn of me. Oh, we're to seek to be more like him, having considered his example. For I am meek and lowly, gentle, mild and humble. Walk with him. Dear brethren, seek this week to be a little more like Jesus. He's in your life. You received him. Seek to be a little more like him. Thirdly, walking in his doctrine. He's the teacher. We thought of that already. Learn of me. In Matthew 28, verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And so we're to walk in his doctrine. Fourthly, spend time in communion with him. There's union and communion. We think of union. We've received Christ Jesus. He's ours now. How wonderful that is. There's union and communion. Now in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 10, we read these words. My beloved spake. See, he's my beloved. I'm in union with him. Rise up, my love, my fairer one, and come away. Rise up. Walk with me. Follow me. Then in verse 13, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Then verse 14, O my dove, that thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice. You see that walk with the Lord there in the verse 10 and verse 13, and that communion with him in verse 14. Note those words again. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Think of the walk with Christ. And in that communion, let me hear thy voice. As we think of walking with Christ, spend time with him and talk to him. Now, did you notice in the Song of Solomon, the Lord said it twice. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Verse 13, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. You see, the child of God needs to be told again and again to walk with Jesus and to spend time in communion with him. And here the Lord says to you, dear child of God, arise this week. My love, my fair one, my righteousness covers thee, and come away, walk with me, and let me hear thy voice. And there the Lord is saying to the child of God, you walk with me this week. And you commune with me. Let me hear thy voice. As we think of walking with Christ, he wants to hear your voice. And he says this to your soul, let me hear thy voice. Go and talk to Jesus tonight. And as you carry on your journey with Jesus tomorrow, talk to him again. Let me ask, is there someone here you've never talked to Jesus? Go and talk to him tonight. Do not leave it any longer. You need him. Go and talk to him. You may say, how can I go to him? I've done so much wrong. I've done so many sins. Come unto me, says Christ. We think there are those words of the Lord to believer. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. In the gospel, he says, come unto me. Or if you're without Christ, go now. He wants to hear your voice and then live a life going with Jesus and communing with him. If we're to be found walking, we need to go talking to Jesus. In your walk this week with Jesus, spend time talking to him. He wants to hear you. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice. They're amazing words. He will cover anything that is amiss. He delights to hear you. You walk with him this week. You talk with him. You remember on the road to Emmaus, those two, they talked with the Lord and Jesus talked with them. You're on a journey. There's a pathway before you. Walking with Christ, go and talk to him. Those of you who are married, you go on a walk and you talk to your spouse. You talk together. Oh, talk to your beloved Saviour. You may go on a walk with a friend. Oh, go and talk to your best friend, your closest friend. Walk with him this coming week. Well, those who receive Christ should have a great concern to walk with him. And dear brethren, it's our desire tonight, isn't it? Whatever comes this way this coming week, whatever we face in our lives to glory, to walk close with Jesus. We're exalted to walk with him, and we want to walk with him, don't we? We don't want to stray. We don't want to go astray like that sheep, as we read in Psalm 119. We want to walk with Christ. And when we do go astray, we say to the shepherd, restore my soul, that we might know the blessing that he restores our soul. Lord, take the staff to pull me back. Use the rod to chastise me, that I might walk with thee. For Lord, we want to walk with Jesus. You want to spend time with him this week, do you not? Oh, walk with Jesus. Wouldst thou know how deep, how wide his love can flow? Walk thou with him, that way is rest. All other pathways are unblessed. Walk with Jesus. What a blessing to walk with Jesus. How blessed we are to walk with him. How amazing is the grace of God. How amazing is the kindness of God. He gave his Son, and through his grace we received him. We have Christ. And we have Christ to walk with. And we have Christ to talk to. Walk with him. Oh, for a closer walk with Jesus. We think of the walk, but let's think of the activity here. We think of the way we're to go. Jesus calls to us, arise, my love, my fair one, come away, come with me. Are you going with Jesus tonight? Are you walking his activity? You know, if you go on a walk, you don't just stay on the spot. You don't just stay in a chair or sit in a chair. You begin to go, you begin to walk. There's activity, physical activity. Oh, for this spiritual effort in the soul. Oh, to walk with Jesus. Think of him. Lord, I want to follow thee this week. I want to walk with thee. Oh, Lord, teach my little feet to walk close to thee. This activity, walking with Jesus. And what a blessing to walk with Jesus upon life's path. To walk with him. To be in union. And to be walking. Oh, walk with Jesus this week. Spend time with him. Think about him. Talk to him. Help me, Lord. Lead me on, Lord. Lead me closer, Lord. Reveal thyself more to me. Touch my heart more often. Stir my soul. That I might love thee more. And run after thee. I want to walk. I want to run. Following Jesus. You know, at times in our lives we can be weary. But do not these words stir our soul that we want to walk with Jesus. We may be weary, but Lord, I want to walk with thee. I want to talk with thee. I want to spend much time with thee. I want to go with thee. I want to make daily advances with Christ. Walk with Jesus. What a blessing to walk with Jesus. To walk with Jesus in this life. To walk with Jesus on our journey home. He be with us on the walk. And who will be with us at the end of the walk? It will be Jesus. Consider him who has gone on before, who ascended up into heaven, who is the forerunner. Walk with him now and keep the end in view. He's waiting for you. What a lovely thought. He walks with us, but he's waiting for you. He says to us now, walk with me, and I will be with you, and I will be there for you when you come to the end of the journey. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk ye in him. You have him. You walk with him. If you're without Christ, go and talk to Jesus now. Amen. Let us pray.